Hello everyone, and thank you for joining me for this podcast all about dyslexia. To begin with, I just want to explain what the DSM-5 is. DSM-5 is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. It's the reference manual, if you like, used to diagnose such conditions. The most recent edition of the DSM-5, released in 2013, actually classifies dyslexia as a specific learning disorder with impairment in reading, including possible deficits in word reading accuracy, reading rate or fluency, and reading comprehension. And that's really what I wanted to start the podcast with. I wanted to actually define what we mean by dyslexia. Now, it's often apparent that the individual's reading ability doesn't match their IQ. People with dyslexia can have specific difficulty in some or all of the following areas. So the first is phonological awareness, and that refers to using sounds to the letters that represent them, so it makes it difficult to decode words. Then there's the area of processing skills, which refers to relating verbal information to semantic meaning, and that makes it difficult to understand actual text. And then short-term memory, which refers to the storage of information for between, we're talking about 20 to 30 seconds or so. And this makes it difficult to use the information to complete activities such as following instructions, mental arithmetic, and reading comprehension. Reading requires extensive knowledge of letter sounds and the ability to use this in order to read words and apply meaning. In order to transfer information to long-term memory, the text needs to be processed, it needs to be understood and rehearsed. And that is the main barrier to learning for dyslexic students in relation to memory. But the level of difficulties, I should say, varies with each individual. So how is dyslexia actually diagnosed? Well, the probability of dyslexia can be identified by a screening test called Wide Range Assessment Test, or WRAT-4 for short. It measures basic skills in reading, arithmetic, and spelling. It's often considered sufficient to receive support in education settings and as evidence for exam access concessions. A full dyslexia diagnostic test, though, is carried out by an educational psychologist. Screening tests can be carried out simply by using computer software. They indicate the probability of dyslexia, but they're not always accurate. Some provide an analysis of strengths and weaknesses that are useful for choosing appropriate strategies. The criteria for a dyslexia diagnosis refers to reading achievement, which has been measured for reading accuracy or comprehension, and is substantially below the level expected for chronological age. What I want to do at this point in the podcast is just talk about some of the effects of dyslexia, because it really does affect different people, as I've said, in different ways. Often those with dyslexia will struggle in a classroom environment where learning is structured into, I guess, blocks of time. This is because their processing speed is slower, resulting in deficits in working memory, which in turn has a negative impact on their ability to commit information to their long-term memory. This explains perfectly why people with dyslexia often have problems remembering or recalling information. In addition, the connection between the visual representation of the letters, or the graphemes as they're known, and the letter sounds, the phonemes, is often confused, resulting in difficulties identifying the order of letters or sounds in words. This makes reading difficult, which can also have implications for learning and committing information to memory. The common difficulties experienced by people diagnosed with dyslexia include, but are not limited to, working memory inefficiencies, difficulties with visual processing, a slower processing speed, and problems with organisational skills. However, there have been some positive elements highlighted by people diagnosed with dyslexia. Actual strengths, which can include cognitive skills, including reasoning and abstraction, creative or artistic abilities, actual visual and perceptual skills, an engagement with new ideas and new concepts, and really the ability to just see the bigger picture in everything. So what might be causing this? Well, dyslexia is a neurodevelopmental disorder. Neurodevelopmental disorders affect the function of the brain and often occur during brain development. Genetic studies suggest that dyslexia has a high probability of being genetic. The genes that have been identified so far as markers of dyslexia are all related to brain development. Research has shown that the brains of people with dyslexia work differently to those without when they read. Reading involves understanding that words are made up of sounds and that these sounds also have a written representation consisting of one letter or a combination of letters. These sounds can have several different representations. The reader also needs to understand that sounds are blended together to make the sound of the whole word. For example, cat is made from blending three separate letter sounds together, k, a, and t. Three different areas of the brain are active during reading. The first is Broca's area, for speech and language, including the whole word processing. The left parietotemporal region of the brain, for decoding words using auditory representation of phonemes. And the occipitotemporal region, for visual memory of words and letters. The left side is used to support the grapheme-phoneme principle, and the right side helps with word forms. In studies of people with dyslexia, it's noted that some of these areas are not activated in the same way. MRI scans have shown the two posterior systems, so the parietotemporal and occipitotemporal, can be underdeveloped in people with dyslexia. fMRI, or functional MRI as it's known, can detect increased blood flow caused by neurons, I guess, firing in different areas of the brain. Underactivation is shown in the parietotemporal and occipitotemporal areas when a dyslexic person reads. Research has also shown that in children with dyslexia, there is an overstimulation of Broca's area, which could be interpreted as the child attempting to compensate for the deficit in other areas. Now, that suggests that they have developed their memory skills in order to remember whole words instead of decoding them. The function of the brain can be analysed before and after intervention to establish the most effective method. So let's talk about memory in relation to dyslexia. Well, verbal working memory relates to remembering information about verbal items or words in order to use that information to perform an activity. Memory involves a multifunctional series of events that occur in a variety of areas of the brain. According to Bedelli's and Hitch's 1974 model of working memory, the central executive, as it's called, will instruct either the phonological loop or the visual spatial scratch pad, if you like, to deal with this symbolic information. The role of the phonological loop is to store auditory information, and it's divided into two subsections, phonological store and articulatory process. Now, I'll just explain those two. The phonological store holds the information that you hear. The articulatory process rehearses that verbal information, keeping it, if you like, in working memory. The visuospatial sketchpad stores visual and spatial information. The episodic buffer that was added to the model in, I think it was in 2000, involves the transfer of information into long-term memory. Just to explain the episodic buffer, it was actually a component of, as I've said, Bedelli's and Hitch's model of working memory, which basically communicates between short and long-term memory. Dyslexia makes it harder to learn new information due to less effective rehearsal and encoding mechanisms and difficulties with verbal processing. When someone has a deficit in verbal working memory, access to prior knowledge is also decreased due to less effective rehearsal, encoding and retrieval abilities. Attention is another aspect that needs to be considered in the creation of effective memory. Rehearsal requires consistent attention in order for information to become, I guess, encoded. Now, people with dyslexia often experience difficulties with attention and distraction or interference during the processing of verbal information, and that will have a significant impact on encoding and storage. If the interference involves unrelated verbal information, there is an increased level of distraction. In order for memory to be effective, information needs to be stored, it needs to be retained and then retrieved. A reduced working memory capacity is a key indicator of dyslexia. Distraction will cause information to be lost. The working memory is, I guess, a short-term storage area. Now, typically, people can store between about 5 and 7 chunks of information in their working memory. However, the dyslexic learner has difficulty with any more than 3. Another theory that is valuable to examine when discussing memory, or memory difficulties rather, in dyslexia, is the levels of processing model of memory by Craik and Lockhart, and that identifies 3 levels of processing. Shallow, which is what the word looks like, or the visual cue, if you like, the deep, and how the word sound, or what they call acoustic, or deepest, which is what the word means, or semantic meaning. In order for memory to be effective, the deepest level of processing needs to occur. A person with dyslexia, though, has deficits in the skills required for processing what a word actually sounds like at the deep level and what the word means at the deepest level. So that results in a shallower processing level where the individual relies on what the word, I guess, looks like in order to create this memory. If memory consists of 3 stages, encoding, storage and retrieval, and dyslexic learners have difficulties at the encoding stage, then clearly that will impact the storage and retrieval stage. Dyslexia results in less information being encoded due to slower processing ability and because information being processed at a shallower level. The strength of the memory trace overall is reduced. I think to conclude, what I'd like to say is that dyslexia is a learning disorder that can be explained by both cognitive psychology and theories of memory. The evidence from fMRI scans does show that the brain functions differently in a person with dyslexia, resulting in limitations but also in strengths which aren't widely recognised. Dyslexia does affect the ability to develop effective reading skills, because there are difficulties with working memory, with processing skills, and difficulties with phonological awareness. But the view of dyslexia is moving away from this deficit model to one of difference in cognitive processes, and that's supported by evidence from brain scans and from significant amounts of research that's being conducted. As always, if you have any questions about anything that I've mentioned in this podcast, do get in touch at kytosbiology@gmail.com. I'd like to thank everybody for listening, and I'd also like to thank our sponsors, Curriculum Press, for providing content for me to use for this particular podcast. So, thanks again. Until next time.